Well, good morning to you all. It's a privilege to be here for the second time already this morning. In case you're wondering what my connection is to your church, it is through Stu and Jill Kinneberg, here one of the elders of your church. We got to know each other back in 1989, back when I was a battalion chaplain, and he was stationed there as well in a little military base in Germany called Babenhausen. Anybody know where Babenhausen is? In between Hanau and Darmstadt, for those of you who are familiar with Germany. So that's our connection here, and it's just a real privilege for me to come and share with you this morning. As your pastor has already said, out at Fort Bliss, we are growing there. By 2012, we'll actually triple in size. By the 10th, we'll have 42,000 soldiers at Fort Bliss, and when you add their family members onto that, we have our own little city there of about, when we get through, about of 100,000. So we're a good-sized place. And if you like wide open spaces, come on out to El Paso. We've got plenty of space for you. This morning, I would like us to take a look at this question. What does it take to be a veteran Christian? This Tuesday, coming up Tuesday, is Veterans Day. So I thought I'd use that theme there. What does it take to be a veteran Christian? Now, I want us to take a look at Scripture, and the theme verse I would like to use this morning is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And listen to what it says. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses." So I'd like us to take a look at this morning at that phrase, fight the good fight. And I'd like to take it apart, and I'd like to focus on the word fight. What's it mean to fight biblically? And what's it mean to fight the good fight of faith? So first of all, let's look at that word fight. You know, in the Army, we know what that term means, unfortunately. We've seen way too many pictures on television of fighting that's going on in Iraq, fighting that's going on in Afghanistan, and all that fighting that's going on. But let's look at the biblical concept of fighting. Let's turn our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 24 and following. Notice what it says. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last, but we do it that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Go back to those first two verses there, verses 24 and 25, where it says, "Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." You know, we need to train and equip ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit to fight in a godly way. Now, how do you know? Here's the question for you this morning. How do you know if you've been trained by others, or you've trained yourself enough in order to fight the good fight of faith? Well, let me ask you some diagnostic questions. Do you feel equipped and ready to fight the fight of the war that's raging in yourself? Do you feel equipped and ready to fight well the battle that may rage in your marriage? Do you feel equipped and ready to fight the battle well that may rage with your children? And on and on. You know that these battles are coming. They've come and will become again. It's just part of our lot. So you see, the other part you need to realize is you don't have to go out and find the fight. The fight comes to you if you are fighting God's fight. And that's the key point here, if you're fighting God's fight. You see, it's possible to be fighting a fight of your own making and not God's good fight. It is possible to be in the church every Sunday and not be in God's fight. We can do that. One way we can do that is by making an unspoken agreement with the devil himself. Listen to this. We can do something like this. It says, "Hey, listen, devil, if you don't bother me, I won't bother you." You see? And that can be challenging. That can be challenging. So fight the good fight of faith. Go on there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the latter part, where it says, "Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize." Now, what does it mean to beat your body? You know, that's not one of those things that really conjures up a positive image in your head to say, what does it mean to beat your body? Well, again, let me answer that question with another scripture, one that I particularly enjoy, Luke 9:23, that says, "Then Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Now, we're to deny ourselves what? You know, deny ourselves anything that would stand in the way from making ourselves available to be used by God for his purposes and for his fight. You see? And the latter part of that that says, to take up his cross and follow me. I don't know about you, but every day I have to make a decision in some way, fashion, or form to follow Jesus. Whether it's in my own home, whether it's where I'm serving, or other places, somewhere I've got to make a conscious choice. I've got to take up my cross and say, no, I'm going to do this God's way. I'm going to seek to honor him in this decision or this place or what comes out of my mouth. That happens on a daily basis. And it enables us to fight the good fight of faith. You see, if we're not willing to do that, then as Scripture says there in 1 Corinthians, we could be disqualified. Many times we try to get around that or find some other ways. It's like the soldier from the Civil War. The story is told that somebody was living sort of on the borderline between the Union and Confederate. So he decided to effect a compromise. What he would do is he'd wear the Confederate jacket, and the Union trousers. And he thought that would just be a good compromise. And so, you know, you probably anticipate what happened. As soon as the first fight that broke out, you know what happened? Both sides shot him. And there's a moral there to that particular story, and that is, if you're going to serve in an army, you must wear its uniform. You get it? If you're going to serve in an army, you must wear its uniform. See, if we are serious about one day being known as veteran Christians, then we must learn how to fight God's way. And that first battle each of us must fight is the battle of self and submission to Almighty God, and be willing to deal with any sin in our life. So we need to fight the good fight. So now, let me ask you this question. Why do you think many Christians may not be willing to fight the good fight of faith? Listen to these scriptures here, a list of three of them here, about learning to fight God's fight. First one is Philippians 1:29. "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him." Now, obviously, that's one of those verses that we would like to take the scissors out and cut them out of our Bibles. We're not into suffering. And let me tell you, we don't have to go out and seek suffering. If we are faithful to God, as I said, the fight comes to you. Yeah, you don't have to go out and find the fight. But we need to be willing to, as Scripture says there, to suffer for the Lord. Let me go on there to 1 Peter 1:6 and following. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, a greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy." You see, on the one time, if we are again serious about fighting the good fight of faith, there are going to be trials. This morning, as you saw, you heard praying, and we were praying for the young child who apparently either fell or something happened. You know, that quick trial came in that family as to not knowing what's happened to their daughter, and we were all, everybody's trying to do the right thing, and. I'm glad to see there were medical folks around, but all of us then stopped there to pray for that child because we realized that ultimately we wanted to bring God's power to bear in whatever the situation is there. And you know, that's like, if you're like me, I have been trained to be a problem solver. In the military, we have all type of ways that, I mean, give me a problem right away, my mind starts to think like this. There's dozens of different ways that I can fix that problem. But then I usually stop, hopefully now a lot sooner than I did before, earlier in my life, and I say, no, let me pray about this. Let me get God's mind on this issue. I can fight the fight a whole lot better the better I can find God's wisdom and bring that to bear, bring God's principles and bring that to bear in a given situation. Let me read another portion of Scripture along this line. It's from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and following, where it says, "If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do it." We need to fight the good fight of faith. Let me tell you, are any of you in a fight today? I suspect so, if you think about it. God has called you to several good fights on His behalf. No, and what does that good fight look like? Because if there is a good fight, then it means it's possible to have a bad fight or a fight of our own making. So what does that good fight look like? Again, let's go back to Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 3 and following. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Again, going back to the verse 3, we do not wage war as the world does. We know how the world wages its war in its own strength, relying upon its own strength, relying upon its own technology, and all those sort of things. But we, notice verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. Do you know what a stronghold is? And for the sake of the application here, a stronghold is any area in your life where you are consistently disobedient to God. You see, it is in those strongholds that we get disqualified from fighting the good fight of faith. So that's one of the wars that we need to wage for ourselves, to seek ourselves to become submitted to God so we can be qualified to be used by Him to fight His good fights. Now, the last part of that verse 5, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Why? Why should we take even our very thoughts and make them captive to the Lord? Remember the verse out of Proverbs? Finish it with me. As a man thinks in his heart, what? So is he. It's important that even in this good fight of the Lord's, that we take every thought captive. Have you ever heard someone say something like this? You know, you can think it, just don't say it. Very unbiblical thought. It is important, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, that we need to train ourselves to even think rightly, because out of our thoughts comes our actions. And so that's a good way to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. So what happens if we do not take seriously fighting the good fight of faith? Well, let's go back to Scripture and see what it says. James chapter 4, starting at verse 1. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." You know, if you think about it, life is full of battles. And if we are not willing to submit ourselves to God and fight His battles, we are still going to fight battles. It just will be those usually are against ourselves and those we love the most. Tell me, do you know any miserable Christians? They're probably in the wrong fight. Okay? They're probably in the wrong fight. So what do you do if you find yourself in the wrong fight? Yeah, what do you do if you find yourself in the wrong fight? Again, we have to go back to Scripture to answer that. Revelation 2:16. Repent! Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You see, it is possible for a Christian to find himself or herself on the wrong side of God. An unrepentant heart, not willing to deal with sin that the Holy Spirit has convicted us of, makes us or potentially can make us an enemy of the cross or at least disqualified from being used by God for His good purposes. And isn't that each one of our desires? I was sharing with Stu just yesterday that, for those of you who know the name Rick Warren from Saddleback Church, he was once asked, what's the epitaph that you want on your grave? And he responded simply, says, all I want on my grave is the following. He served God's purposes, and then he died. He served God's purposes, and then he died. Now, isn't that each one of our desire? Whether it's in ourself, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our family, whether it's where we work or we play, wherever we're at, isn't it our desire to say, God, in all those areas, I want to please you, and if necessary, show me where I need to fight your fights in your strength, you know, because I'm not going into any of these battles without you, because you and I make it a majority. Okay? So fight the good fight of faith. Now, what is the result of committing ourselves to fighting the good fight of faith? Again, back to Scripture, 2 Timothy 4, starting at verse 7, where Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Now there is a veteran Christian. And you notice in that scripture, it says nothing about how long you've been a Christian. It has nothing to do with how long you've been a Christian. It has everything to do with how well you have fought the good fight of faith. So let me close this morning with these words of challenge to you. Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you in God's fight? Have you ever enlisted? Have you prepared yourself? Is that preparation ongoing in your lives? Is it God's battles you are fighting? And finally, are you in it for the long haul? One final verse, James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised for those who love him. I trust this morning that you desire to be counted among those as veteran Christians. Amen? Amen. Pray with me, please. Father, it is our privilege to be known as your sons and daughters. It is our privilege to cry out to you, Abba, Father. And Father, you have called us to make ourselves available to be used by you, wherever that is, Lord, to fight the good fight. So I pray for each one here, Lord, that you would show them, that you would equip them, that you would empower them to fight the good fight wherever you have called them. And Father, if any find themselves in a wrong fight, Father, you would reveal that to them. They would get out of that and turn themselves to you. Lord, our desire is to be called veteran Christians. And Father, I too would pray this morning and thank you for all those who have gone ahead for us and fought the good fight of faith, and have fought the good fight that we can be here this morning freely, without fear, honoring you, worshiping you, hearing your word. We thank you for all them. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless.